Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
Ooh, we almost fucked up. We almost were getting into some good territory. We were talking about how chicks were just hotter back in the 80s.
100%.
Because they were natural.
Yes.
And you know, when you saw a chick that was really stacked, really built, like it was rare, right? It had just the curves in the right places. Whereas nowadays,
everyone
through surgery,
everyone's the same.
Fuck everyone on Instagram has, you know, I mean, it's so common that it's just been kind of whitewashed. But back in our day, if you saw a chick with big old melons and everything, it was just like, wow, it was a rare sighting, you know?
They were either in a magazine or a music video. And what prompted this discussion is, because I now have this 80s video channel and I've been watching these music videos, but seriously, man, every rock and roll big hair band from Motley Crue to AC/DC to name it had stellar chicks. But the funny thing is when they pan, you know, to the audience, then's the reality of what real 80 chicks looks like.
Oh yeah, sure. Your average, but it was it's true, you know, and even in school, you know, there was like the hot chick,
right?
You know, but nowadays, just there's hot chicks everywhere, and it's
not special anymore. It's like it's few and far back then. You know, you're right. You had a handful of hot chicks. You had that super hot chick who was a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Like in every class, you knew who the stellar chick was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, because younger and younger, these girls are just getting surgery or even just getting their lips done or Botox or, you know, it's hilarious.
So common. It is.
It's not special. Yeah. It's just like when you flip on Instagram or TikTok, it's like, y'all look the same. You know,
I saw a funny meme the other day. It's this guy and girl talking, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I'm a model on Instagram." And he goes, "Oh, I'm a soldier on Call of Duty." Kind of the same thing, right? You're like,
"Oh my gosh, that is hilarious!" Oh my gosh, I want a shirt that says that.
Yeah,
that is
digital realities. People really buy into that stuff.
That is such a reality check. Or it's kind of like saying, "You know, I'm a commercial real estate developer in SimCity."
Yeah, I was gonna say you're playing Sims or whatever. Yeah. That's right. No big deal. I'm a tycoon. I'm Monopoly, you know, the game.
Well, it reminds me of the movie Step Brothers, where he's like, I manage a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fantasy League.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I own a football team.
Yeah, I own a football team.
Oh, dude, I wanted to show you. So got a little Black Friday purchase that came in yesterday.
Uh-oh. Is this a helmet? Is this another
dude,
helmet?
No, this is something nice. So
I'm going to get y'all this here.
Little tomahawk. Look at that thing. Hold on. Comes with a little leather protector, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Bam. Look at that bad boy, dude.
Whoa, first of all, you got to give a plug for whoever crafted that. That is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So it's actually a place called, I follow them on Instagram, Ancient Smithy. SMITHY, I believe. They're on Instagram. They have their own website.
Wow, look at that.
Dude, these are badass fucking... So hold on. It's not over yet. So I'm like, you know...
Is that balanced? It looks like you could throw that.
Dude, thing. It is. And it's a solid one piece of metal. Wow. And then it's... I believe this is oak, and it's got the engravings in it. Kind of the...
Dude,
you know, tribal gravings.
I'm asking for socks for Christmas, and you already have
straight up tomahawks. But hold on. Then I came across this. Their website's dangerous, bro. Because you're like, fuck. Look at this gnarly little thing, dude.
I'm like, you know what? Dude, I'm proud of you because you stay true to the SEAL creed where two is one and one is none. So I'm very proud of you.
Motherfucker!
Look at that
shit, dude. I'm ready to do some Mel Gibson and the Patriot shit. Dude, I'm just going to be running around with my hawk going, motherfucker!
Now, let me ask you a question. Is that an assault weapon?
Well, it is a semi-automatic tomahawk.
Seriously.
Semi-auto, full-auto tomahawk. Oh, I'm sure it's illegal in the state of California because that's fucking cool.
Well, it's art.
Things are,
that's
dude,
art.
If you held these, they're fucking amazing.
I can't believe that. That one is wicked.
Dude, Black Friday, 40% off. I'm like, motherfucker.
You're killing me. Okay, you're going to have to text me or DM that dude's site. I gotta get on that. That just
dude, and they have all, like, I mean, whatever type of stuff you're into, swords, tomahawks, but it's all handcrafted.
I love that stuff, especially the Viking style, like what you have.
Yeah.
That's some, that's,
and that's
shit,
their
man.
Specialty. The swords, the, they got really? The bigger axes.
Oh,
the,
shoot.
Some battle, I mean, axes. Camping hatchets and the quality of it. Cause I did a lot of research. Now, obviously there's a lot of shit online and you, right. you know, whatever. So these guys, and I'm like, dude, that's actually a real fair price, dude. Like, holy shit, for the level wow. of craftsmanship that goes into it. And I was reading all the reviews. So I'm like, I'll take a shot on it. And sure. with the 40% off for Black Friday, I'm like, dude, I got a steal. So I'm like, when I saw the other one, I think it's called like the Battle Tomahawk, the one with that little piece carved out. Yeah, so it's got that tooth. I'm like, oh, dude, I need to get a twofer, bro.
That's wicked, that one. It's like, I don't even need that one. That's just mashing.
I mean, you got three spikes. You got the spike in the back, and then these two, and they're sharp as fuck, dude.
Dude, that's gnarly.
I'm gonna see if I can get a concealed carry permit for this.
Well,
goes for your wallet, and you just like, motherfucker.
I saw a dude in California, and he was walking with it. Had at least be a Rambo size knife. Okay, or a McDundee, like, you know, that's not a knife. This is right. So, and I guess the law is you could carry, as long as it's above mm-hmm. 3-4 inches, you could carry on your side. You could openly carry a big ass knife.
Yeah. If it's a fixed blade and you carry it on your belt loop and it's not concealed, there's no requirement.
There you go. I want to,
cause I looked into it, cause I was carrying, the knife Beck made.
Oh yeah.
And Beck gave me, for a long time out in the woods. And I read the laws and they said, as long as it's like a belt loop type sheath, and you could carry a Bowie knife, it doesn't matter. What they don't want is concealed carry. So even like this meets all the requirements, blade length, everything. But if this is in your pocket, it's now a concealed weapon. But if it's clipped and visible, then it's not a concealed weapon. Now, would the average cop jam up a dude like me and you? No.
Probably not.
But you know, depending what California.
Depending what town in California, though.
Well, that's true. Seriously. But you know, I actually have a little, there's a utility pocket. I carry this at work. And so it's visible off my leg. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of Australian stuff, that's not a knife. Dude, let's try the thing that Theo did with the Rise Up Lights. Say Rise Up Lights 3 times and it sounds like razor blades in Australian.
Oh, shoot.
Rise Up Lights.
I can't do it, man.
Rise up lights.
And I'm sorry to all of our Australian brothers and sisters. We're assholes. We're sorry. this is the little banter we get into before our subject. But
this is what we used to not record, but we thought, man, sometimes it's our best shit. So
this is basically our phone conversation.
At least once a day we come up with ideas and kick around, you know.
But yeah, let's get in. You lightning struck you this week and you were hot and bothered, and so obviously you dialed me and you want to talk about something near and dear to your heart. It's basically there's been a massive cost of war, and it's not the $5.8+ trillion that was spent in Afghanistan. There's other cost of war, which is, you know, veteran health and welfare, and basically the failure of our American institutions to meet the needs of these warriors. And that's what we want to talk about today, right, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I called Ryan up the other day and just said, hey man, there's something really bugging me and I'd love to talk about it. It's, you know, I have conversations almost daily, you know, at least a few times a week with different groups of veterans, buddies from the active duty guys or contractor dudes, even some cops, you know, fall into that category for sure. And then of course I listen to a lot of podcasts as I'm driving around doing safety dude shit. And I love podcasts. I think they're a great source of information. It also kind of helps feed the energy for what Ryan and I do. I mean, it's just, I enjoy listening to other people talk and you learn some things. And so I was listening to a couple of recent podcasts from different platforms and they had top level guys on, and it's sad because I don't want to name names or embarrass anybody. So I'll keep it kind of general, but like these poor motherfuckers can't even complete a thought or, you know, form a coherent sentence and their mind wanders. And listen, I get it. Like, I'm not bagging on these dudes at all. It breaks my heart. It actually pisses me off.
Right.
And I see and hear the same things in these phone conversations I have with various brothers. And it just, it really bothers me that there's more sinking ships than success stories. You know what I mean? It's social media paints this appearance of all these veterans have their shit together and these businesses and these fucking coaching fucking companies and prepare you for this and training that. And the reality is behind the curtains, you know, I don't know one guy that I personally communicate with that is truly happy and healthy. You know, there's a struggle in all of us. And I think that's in life for sure. That doesn't make veterans any difference. I think the intensity of that struggle might be a little different for some. It also depends on how you react to these situations. But basically what I've seen and heard on these podcasts and seen in personal friendships of mine is these are people with torn souls. And and we parade them around with, oh, they got Silver Star and 5 Bronze Stars. And, you know, when I was a young trooper, I might look at that and say, wow, that dude's a fucking legend. Well, now that some of my peers have reached this legendary status, I know them on a personal level. And I say, they're a dysfunctional human. Yeah. It's sad to see these broken souls. And trust me, I have my own struggles. We all do. Like sure. I said, it's not just unique to the veteran community, but it's a type of trauma, obviously, that, you know, war brings upon people. And so I started really focusing on the topic of war, just thinking, as I'm cruising around. And, you know, it really bothered me. I thought, when is the last time that we were actually at war? When is the last time that we fought a righteous war? Like,
well, we know the answer to that. It's World War II.
Well, World War II. And so, I talked about a book a long time ago called Surprise, Vanish, Kill or something, or Surprise, Kill, Vanish, or whatever it was. Yeah, great book. Mm-hmm. But I realized in listening to that audiobook that before World War II, there wasn't a big standing peacetime army in America. But after World War II is what I would say is the birth of the military industrial complex, the war machine.
Oh, hands down.
I think we got a big head, a big ego. We consider ourselves the saviors of Europe. We take a lot of credit for, beating the Germans, whatever. And it was post-World War II was the creation of the CIA from the ashes of the OSS. Mm-hmm. Yep. We started keeping a large, full-time, peacetime army. So obviously you have to fund that, and you're going to use that. If you have a toy, you're going to use it. I got 2 tomahawks. You don't think I'm going to be out there hacking up a tree in about 20 minutes? You know what I mean?
I'm going to see you throw that, man. I got to see it.
Oh, dude. So that's what I mean is you have these tools, you're going to use them. And I started thinking like every war since World War II, you know, has it been bullshit? You know what I mean? Like World War II, I think was righteous. It was necessary. You got
100%, you know, righteous. 100%.
Germans doing weird shit. Yeah, good versus evil. I mean, I don't think anyone will ever debate on World War II. Maybe Kanye has some weird opinions on it. But sorry, dude.
Sorry, ye.
Sorry, ye, yay, yo, whatever the fuck it is,
sorry,
now.
Buddy.
But I think, you know, around the world, that was something. And that you have to do that, dude. And I think that's why you just don't hear a lot of shit from the World War II guys, although they're pretty much old nowadays, but yeah. I think it's because they knew what they did was righteous. Like, hey, man, they got fucked up just like any other generation of warfighter. But I think the difference was they knew in their hearts they were fighting fucking evil, this Nazi shit in Germany and all that stuff and throughout Europe. But now, since then, I think that the wars have been fought really to kind of justify the war machine. If you don't use it, you know, you lose it.
Right.
So I looked at well, that's what I mean.
Right.
So you're funding this big war machine. And if you don't use it, at some point, someone's going to say, hey, do we need all these fucking soldiers? Like, we haven't been at war in 40 years. So then you look quickly after World War II, Korea hits. Korea was not a successful campaign. Now we have a split country that's still technically at war with itself.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. Yeah. Then we bounce into Vietnam. And it was under the guise of stopping the spread of communism. Well, we pull out, it falls to communism. And does it affect America at all whatsoever? No, we just put more boys into the meat grinder.
Right.
And then you just go from there. All these other little brush fires and skirmishes all the way up through Afghanistan and Iraq both go back to the way it was when we found it, but in worse condition.
Well, I want to talk about that for a second, because the thing is, on your comment of World War II being righteous, I mean, it was, because, I mean, first of all, when you have countries that basically come knock on your door, and I'm not talking about an attack. 9/11 was an attack. There's a big difference when, you know, squadrons of airplanes are coming to your homeland. That's different, sure. Right? It's time to take the fight to people. So again, I agree. I think that is righteous. I think the Greatest Generation, they, like you said, they went there, they did their duty, they came home, and they got to work, they built families, they went to church, they you know, whatever. They got on with life, because they never talked about it. You know, my grandfathers, they just didn't talk. You'd have to nudge them, and then when you nudged them, it might be a sentence or two. It's just like, you know, that was me over there overseas. That's not me now. It's like they disassociate with it.
You mean they didn't have an Instagram account constantly bragging about
what they did? Here's me in formation. Right. Okay. Yeah. but I guess what bothers me a lot is, so you have this righteous, but I want to give credit to the people that went off for Afghanistan or Iraq, things like that, basically post 9/11, because we talked about 9/11. Yeah, look, they came, they spit in our face. We all got inspired. Many people went to the recruiting. There was lines, things like that. But the reason was, so you have righteous with World War II, and that was noble. That was a noble thing to do, because you're like, you know what? I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going to stand for terrorism. And the sad thing is, you have to fight for something. You have to believe in something. So World War II, you're fighting because of the righteous cause. A lot of the soldiers, including yourself, this was a noble cause. But what fucked everything up is the withdrawal. Because then you start asking yourself, was this really noble? And that's where I think where we're at right now with all these problems with mental health, because you start questioning yourself, right?
Well, there was a big piece of it that we were always asking ourselves, what the fuck are we doing here? And so I want to throw out to our listeners what I classify as what war is and what conflict is. To me, what war is when nations use their militaries against one another. So like World War II, it was ship versus ship, plane versus plane, soldier versus soldier, whatever. Since World War II, we've been in conflicts. And yes. And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure the last time Congress declared war was World War II.
Yep, after the Japanese.
And so that mechanism's in place. We're not supposed to use our military without our representative signing off on it, because then we have a voice in that, right? If you believe in our electoral system, you know, the congressmen are supposed to, right?
Sorry.
So nowadays, it's like, what the fuck? But in theory, you know, that's what it's supposed to be is, right. You know, they're supposed to reflect the will of the people by representing us. And so, you know, nowadays, for some reason, our war machine gets activated without congressional approval under all these different anti-terrorism things or whatever the fuck it was. So the last time we've been at war, in my opinion, is World War II, when it was nation versus nation. It was plane for plane, tank for tank, et cetera, et cetera. It was metal on metal.
Yeah.
Since then, it's just been us picking on little brown people, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, and we're fighting these little rebel tribal groups. You know, you're just driving around getting ambushed. It's turned into ambush warfare. And what's the purpose of that? Like, there is no purpose. Something like 9/11, did it deserve a response? Absolutely. What would my response have been? Well, the initial response was correct. Operation Anaconda. Send in special operations, smoke this fucker, and get out. And then you send a message to anyone else. We will fucking come and hunt you down and kill you.
Which is actually scarier than moving huge ground forces. Right?
Well, and it has to be surgical, because what happens when you roll in the conventional military, now you're creating more terrorists.
Yes.
You're occupying forces. You're occupying someone's foreign land. Yep. And inevitably, you're going to do shit to piss people off.
Sure.
and you're going to create more resentment. You're going to create more. We always used to say, you kill one terrorist, you create six more. But if you do it surgically, like Operation Anaconda, you just fly in there and smoke check the right people. Nobody has really has a problem with that. In and out. That's how you fight terrorism. You cannot fight terrorism with conventional occupation campaigns. No. Just creates more fucking resentment, costs the taxpayers billions and billions, as you said, trillions of fucking dollars. That imagine if that money was put into our own fucking society, what we would be as a country, as opposed to just funding this fucking war machine. And what sparked this pissed off passion was just looking at the litter of fucked up buddies I have, who include myself. You know, it's a daily fucking struggle that I deal with. We all walk our own path. We all have our own struggles. And I'm just listening to these guys on podcasts of different backgrounds, SEAL, Delta, SF, name it, you know, recon Marines, snipers, and they're just all fucked up. And it really reminds me of the conversations I have with my brothers that were also fucked up. And then for what? What is the price of admission worth it? What show are we getting? Are we just getting a fucking circus out of it, which is what I think it is?
Yeah.
So that's when I started reflecting on the history of warfare in the U.S. You know, in my opinion, the last righteous war was World War II. But ever since then, we're poking our nose in other people's business. We have this war machine that must be funded. How much money goes into this? There's a big part of it that comes from the black budget, which doesn't even have dollar value attached to it. It's an insane amount of money.
I'm laughing because this week, the spending report, the audit, it happens every year. It came out with the Pentagon spending.
Oh, they miss a lot of shit. But well, hey, you're $600 in Venmo, bro.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, we're not talking hundreds of thousands. We're talking trillions, hundreds yeah. of millions, like trillions. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, oops, I don't know where it is.
Just the Pentagon alone is missing however much, you know, and that's one sliver of the government. Like,
right, right. But if you're short $10 on your tax, your taxes don't. They know how to find
it. But if
right?
I PayPal you $601, oh right. fuck, you know.
But let's talk about it for the side of the money. And I think that's what really disturbs me is, you know, we have our elected officials that all make six-figure salaries. Okay. It just came out in the news this week that the cost of supporting one homeless person in San Francisco is $900,000. So let's just say $1 million a person. You know, again, that's crazy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's $100,000 per person. $100,000 per person. So think about that. You're a bum. You're San Francisco. Here's a phone, and here's $100K a year. You know, to go take a shit in the middle of the street and to leave your syringes all over. But here are our veterans. Okay. And what money is going towards them? Because there's not enough programs focused on adequate housing to mental health concerns, to job employment, to overall health in regards to the VA, homelessness, substance abuse. And the sad thing is that veterans have yet to receive substantial support from government facilities or resources. But we'll pay the bums $100,000, or our elected officials should get these $100,000 salaries. That's what pisses me off, bro.
Well, yeah, we did the math the other day when we were talking about this. You know, I'm still fighting in an appeal process for my VA yeah. claim. They gave me 10%, which gets me $150 a month. And so we multiply that by 12, and it was $1,800 a year I get from Uncle Sam for my 10 deployments. You know, granted, two of those were active duty and eight were as a contractor. But it's still wear and tear for the good of the people, you know. And unfortunately, part of that system, in my opinion, is broken because they don't give a fuck about your contracting time. And a lot of us, a huge number of us,
sure,
saw more shit as a contractor than we did active duty. And so to just completely wipe off that as not service related, like they should somehow update their policies and incorporate your contracting service.
Well,
I don't know why they don't.
Dude, I mean, it has to infuriate you. I mean, think about it. And seriously, I'm super pissed off, okay? Because you and I, we talk about it. You tell me what the experience is at the VA, okay? It's unacceptable.
It's,
you know, if you have something wrong, you're not going to the hospital. You're waiting maybe weeks, let alone months, to go talk to someone. But think about how many programs are for these bums right now, and the money. Where's the priorities? This is unacceptable.
It's taken me 4 years now, I think it is, my appeal process.
See,
and it's just out there and
bullshit.
You know, I mean, I bet it's a lot quicker to get food stamps or whatever other programs are out there. You know, I bet I could get an EBT card quicker than fucking 4 years. So why is this system so slow, you know?
You could roll down to, you drive out, down to San Francisco or, you know, at least once a month or a couple times a month. I would just start taking a shit in the middle of the street, call yourself a bum. Get $100,000.
Okay. I could blend in for sure.
Well, dude, it's, you know, mo money. I mean, come on.
I did buy crack at the homeless shelter when I was undercover. So, I do blend into the homeless population. It actually hurt my feelings.
Well, you could grow your hair out again and be the scraggly savage.
Oh, yeah.
You
know?
And that'd be awesome. Well, again, these things no one wants to talk about. And you're right. You have a lot of your brothers that are going through this. And also, it's not isolated just to the United States. Anyone who's served in any military that was in any conflict, you know, be it the UK, Australia, New Zealand, I could go on and on. Everyone faces this kind of stuff. But the sad fact is, specifically to the United States, is since 9/11, this is just crazy. This statistic always bothered me and stands out in my memory is, you know, the military suicides dwarf the number of soldiers killed in combat. That's fucked up.
It does. Well, and that's why, you know, anytime you're dealing with an issue, you want to find what the root cause is, you know, because otherwise, you know, you're not dealing with it. You need to pull it up by the roots.
Yeah.
And the roots of this is why are we sending young men and women off to fight these fucking stupid wars in the first place? Like, that's the real, you know, in my opinion, we shouldn't have been at war since World War II. There's nothing that now. Yeah. Okay. 9/11. Yeah. Surgical strike from some tier one guys. Great. Right. Done. Those guys should always be busy, by the way. Special operations
hands down
should be proactive as fuck.
Yeah.
They are preventive medicine. And good I don't call. Like the, when they're used in what's fucked those guys up is when a conventional war pops off, they become conventional and they're kicking in doors and they're doing, you know, 2-3 ops a night. That's fucking ridiculous. You don't put high miles on a Lamborghini, dude. You save it for that Sunday drive. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so there's plenty of troops that are there, your fucking beat up ass Hondas and Jeeps and shit that you, those are your daily go getters, you know, your Rangers and Marines and things like that. But you save the special bubbas for preventive medicine and they should be doing surgical shit year round, decade after decade. That prevents a lot of this shit. That's how our military is designed. Why we have such a big conventional military just sitting around. I saw that. Well, yeah. I remember my first deployment on the Shiloh. I looked at that 11 ship battle group as we're pulling out of San Diego, and I'm thinking, damn, how much does this cost for one day to the taxpayers? Well, and all we're going to do is go into the Gulf and do boxes for about 3-4 months and then come all the way fucking back.
Do you know what the most expensive part of funding the war is?
Porn?
Jack Shacks?
yeah.
Well, actually, technically, maybe it does fit into this category. It's the logistics.
Oh,
the transportation,
for sure.
The food, the housing.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Well,
business.
That's what I mean. Why do we...
It's all contracted out,
that,
man.
Yeah. Well, we're the only country that forward deploys like that. It's just such a waste of money. And now we it as, well, we're a deterrent. We like to pat ourselves on the back. And you and I were talking the other day, America sees itself as like...
The police
force of the world. My advice is fuck all that. Bring everyone home. Downsize the military. We've gotten this mindset that we have to have this massive military. If you look at what a military's purpose is, it's to protect your country from other countries, to protect
your
country from your borders.
Oh, wait a second.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Well, and we're the opposite. We have so many dudes overseas. Our borders are wide open. Like, what the fuck? We're doing the opposite of what we should be doing. We need to get out of other people's business. We need to take care of ourselves. And now with technology, you don't need a million fucking boots on the ground, dude.
The future,
really? Yeah. All you've ever really needed was special operations in aviation component, helicopters and planes,
right,
and a medical support unit. And of course, the logistics that goes with it. But your three main branches of any situation need to be special operations, aviation and medical.
Well,
and then the rest of it just stays nice and tight, keeping like Okay, if something big pops off, then you just people sign up and you go fight. But
yeah,
to have this huge machine that's always there since World War II, it's fucking wrong because you're gonna use it. It costs a shit ton of money, and it fucks up our sons and daughters as Americans for generations now. And I'm tired of watching.
Well, you bring up something
people get ate up by this
and. The question is, when's this shift going to come? Because throughout history and warfare, it constantly shifts the game. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you look back at the days of the Vikings and how that warfare played out, I mean, it was gruesome, right? It's guys charging each other, hacking limbs off. And you'd look at that now and you'd be like, exactly. You look at that now and you're like, oh my God, that's so silly. Or think about on how the Romans fought. Or then fast forward, why do you think we were so successful at the Revolutionary War? Because the British were so used to forming these lines and following the rules of these warfare. And then we had these dudes doing guerrilla tactics going, we're not
jumping out of bushes, shooting officers.
Yeah, we're not getting in formation. But think how stupid that is. Okay. And then you go to World War One. You have trench. Well,
flip-flop it though, what were we doing in Iraq and Afghanistan? We were the British. We That's were on saying. The battlefield in uniform and formation. Yeah. And what were they doing? They were doing ambush warfare.
Well, same with Vietnam, right?
We forgot. Yeah. We forgot. What was our secret sauce in the Revolutionary War? It's later on, we became the conventional troops that were out there in the battlefield, like, come on, what the fuck?
But if trench warfare, and then it got into big. Gnarly
industrious warfare,
industrious because
yeah.
who has the more battleships?
World War II,
yeah, exactly. And then we start to see the evolution. I would say
Vietnam was guerrilla warfare,
but I think Vietnam sprung the birth of special operations.
It did. Okay? Yep.
So we now then see what special forces develop. You're talking about special operations, and now it's even getting more crazy with MARSOC, et cetera, et cetera. So we keep seeing, these barbaric ways to go to war evolve. And I think the next evolution, to your point, is you're right. It's not going to be that many people. You're going to need special operations, and it's going to come down to intelligence.
Technology, man.
Technology and UAVs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not going to be, let's go send 10,000 people to this country in the Middle East. No.
You'll have a C-130 that drops a bunch of fucking suicide drones out its back and just flies into a city and hits GPS locations, and
they're already deploying the robot dogs with guns in California.
I know. Well, you know, what was funny is the response was no, we're not going to put guns on them, just explosives.
there you go.
Well, I know a lot of people in up in arms about that, but Dallas already did that. You remember the active shooter that was dumping down from some building during like a parade, and he shot like five cops? Well, they hit him with a robot that had explosives on it. That's how they took him out.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean,
so it's already been deployed. It's already been an option for law enforcement for a while. But
they've always had the robot.
They did.
Right?
The EOD guys said, fuck it. They rigged up the robot and they went up to wherever this dude was and just blew him up. Boom. So it is scary, but you know, it is scary that, I mean, robots have been on the battlefield and in law enforcement for a while. In fact, I used to see back in the day, the SWAT dudes would have to stand around for hours while the robot would go up and do this and that and look around. And but I mean, your job is not, you're not really an entry team. You know, you're still cops, you're still peacemakers, but with technology, humans are less and less, relevant. And so even to see these poor SWAT bubbas standing around in 80 pounds of gear waiting for this robot to
clear.
It comes up to the door. You're like, I'm falling asleep on my rifle over the hood of the Tahoe, fucking drool.
It reminds me of the three-year-old. Can we go? Can we go now, Mom? Can we go? Yay!
Put me in, Coach. Put me in, Coach. Yeah, I do see it evolving through technology. And I just, going back to what the root of the problem is, and I don't have an answer, and I don't think, sometimes it just, I'm exposing my heart. Like, I don't have an answer to this. There's no really ties back to any words of wisdom, but there's just got to be a way to stop our government specifically and just get involved in shit that it doesn't need to be involved in. Look at what's currently going on right now. We are fighting Russia. We're just using Ukraine's army
proxy.
And it's costed the American taxpayers over $100 billion at this point. And there's no signs of letting up. It's just, but we have so many problems here at home.
Oh gosh.
At some part, you just have to let the world settle how it's going to settle. And you take care, you got to take care of your own backyard before you're knocking on the neighbor's door, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't like how America, we're always just, I promise you, I've been a part of the foreign policy. It's fucked. We are the most devious. I'll use the word evil. Fucking government on the planet. We are constantly fucking with people's elections. We're constantly, there have been assassinations related to parts of our government. Like, we are always fucking the neighbor's wife in our foreign policies, man. We're so, not the good guys, man.
So have they brought this game to our country now?
Gee, I wonder. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you to a certain president under his administration. Those assets have been turned inwards, which is, you know, people got to think about that. It's like, you know, if you're dating a dangerous dude and then all of a sudden he does something domestically to you, are you surprised? Let's say your boyfriend, you're, you know, young, pretty chick, and your boyfriend's this badass. It's always in bar fights and shit. Are you really surprised if he gets drunk at home one night and beats your ass? I mean, it's a weird analogy, but here we are as American citizens going, oh man, we got all the best this and that, and we fuck people up. But then it turns on us and we're all like, oh my God, the CIA spying on us, NSA, right. FBI.
FBI. Well, yep.
No shit. You know, all these agencies that have these capabilities, you don't think they'll turn them against their own people. Well, no shit. You know, it's depends who the players are. They're not supposed to, you know, yep. But if you look at current trends, yeah, a lot of the evils that we have portrayed, I don't know if that's the right word. I try to use big words and I hurt myself sometimes. But all the evils we have projected and put upon other peoples is now being put upon us as the population, and we're seeing it.
Yeah.
There's still some people that are denying it, but we need to really rewire parts of our society on a conscious and subconscious level. And we need to definitely rewire the way politics is working. I still think politics is downstream of society.
Yeah.
So it starts with ourselves. Well, we have to become better people ourselves, and then eventually that shit should go downstream.
I think we're at a, not a defining moment, but a redefining moment, because what we really need to do is we need to redefine what is this cost. You know, is the juice worth the squeeze to our country? Is it is the juice worth the squeeze towards humanity and the world? And and that's not just us. I mean, you know, look, right now in this world, I don't care where you live, there's a lot of shenanigans going on. So, but that's where I could
only pray. It's a global problem.
It is. And what we need to keep putting pressure on these so-called officials is your decisions need to start thinking, you know, how are you affecting, you know, humanity and the world? And I'm not saying this is a globalist strategy. I'm not saying that at all, right?
It's there's a difference. Groups of nations coming together for peace is different than like Klaus Schwab wanting to dominate the world. He's just a goofy looking Hitler is all that motherfucker is.
Yeah, he's authoritarian.
I don't even trust a motherfucker with that accent. Didn't we learn before someone that speaks like that? Like,
dude, I don't trust anyone who dresses like the Emperor from Star Wars.
He does. Yeah, he does.
I mean, so you have to be so fucked up in the head. It's not, you know, a suit's not good enough for you.
Yeah, okay? You got to wear some weird space
shit. You have to have some designer costume bullshit. How fucked up are you in the head?
Yeah, he is.
Right?
Well, you know, another thing too, like, for example, this Ukraine shit. We didn't encourage them to negotiate with Russia. We were like, no, come over here, dude. We'll take care of you. Don't even talk to them. What would be wrong with encouraging negotiations? Of course, we want them to go to war. We want to fund it. We want to be a part of it. We have to change that part of our culture, because I think at some point that's going to backfire on us. Well, every superpower has collapsed.
It always backfires. But the problem is, to your point, is look, we have NATO. We have ironclad agreements with NATO. If Russia was to come knock on a NATO door, obviously we have a responsibility. Now, Ukraine, God bless those people. They're really tough and doing what they need to do. But the thing is, their leaders did not want to take part in NATO. Now they do.
Yeah.
You know, but these are the decisions that has put the country in issues. So if they would have been part of NATO or something, then they would be part of that community. But that's the tough thing in this situation, because they want the world to help them. Okay. Yeah. But dude,
but you know, that money is not going to where it needs to go. Our buddy Mark Turner, who we had on here, was on another podcast, and he said the last trip he went over there for, they were all asking for boots because the winter's coming. And he's thinking $100 billion, and these motherfuckers, no, they don't even have boots.
It's oligarch. I'm telling you, man, this is
all going into pockets, bullshit, man.
Yeah, this is
Jesus. This I mean, with $100 billion, you could. Dude, those motherfuckers should be looking like, bro, Delta Force, man. They should have nods on. They should have fucking plates and for brand new uniform.
Yeah,
dude. And they still have like one magazine full of ammo per rifle, and these rifles are all fucked up. Like $100 billion, they should have basic fucking equipment. They don't. And so that's a buddy of ours that's on the ground and that's seeing, where is this $100 billion? Well, we all know where it's going. Well, you know what I would love to do? We should have just 1 year we refuse to pay taxes, dude. Wouldn't that just shut the government down and say, no, you're coming to the fucking table. Like, everyone go exempt. Everyone go exempt for a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, but what message would that send and say, hey, we're not okay with how you just blanketly spend our fucking money, dude?
Well, we could go in a whole direction of taxation without representation, but
what that does is it defunds the fucking war machine, though.
Yeah,
that is where most of our money goes, is this 100%. War machine. But then where does that money go once it's in that area? It goes into a lot of pockets, man.
You know what the irony is? Think about the budget's name, defense.
Yeah, budget. Yeah.
What are we defending?
When's the last time we defended? And by the way, our defense budget sucks. How could fucking, you know, however many dudes with box cutters fucking slice right through our defense and crash into buildings? Like, obviously, we suck at defense.
We can't defend a border right now against
we can't defend
against
a border.
Narcos.
Yeah. We couldn't stop 9/11. We can't stop illegal immigration. What defense budget? What do we,
you know, what we should pay for? We should have our buddies back, the Narcos guys. I'd love to hear their thoughts on the border. That would actually be very interesting. We should note that. I also think what bothers me is, you know, roughly 1 in 4 veterans have a problem readjusting to civilian life, and that's a fact.
I would say it's 5 out of 4.
You know, maybe the statistics change, but you know,
I don't know anyone that just adjusted back. No, I have kind of an odd group, you know, mostly special operations types.
Exactly. You know, but here's the problem too. You know, a majority of veterans, they can't even pay their bills returning home from combat. Okay. You know, also, a lot of the money that they do get, you know, as well as I do, there's a huge alcohol and substance. And it's only because there's the lack of, like we talked about earlier, there's the lack of the programs, the lack of the support, there's the lack of the funding. And I believe, it just opinion here, is if you're giving $100,000 to bums, okay, so you're willing to support that community, okay? I ask, why wouldn't you want to support these young men and women coming back? And the only thing I could think of, and again, my opinion, is you just don't want these warriors to be better. You want to keep them down. You want them to be worse off than the bums.
Well, I think that's why they shove pills down their throats.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I don't believe anyone should just get money, because I've seen veteran buddies of mine who are like 100% disabled. They get like $3,000 a month, and kid there's in the no incentive store for them. Dude, they just exist. They just mooch off of girlfriends. They don't have jobs. There's no drive. They get their tax-free $3,000 a month. Most of it goes to booze.
I'm liking this. Live off your girlfriends, and this is...
Well, they do.
Where's the negative in this?
Well, there's no incentive to grow or to drive on, and so you create a military welfare system. Yes. You know, what I wish they would do, both on the civilian side and on the military side of helping people, is teach them shit. Get them into the trades.
There you go. Like, programs.
Somehow it's got to be attached. Like, money is just to get you on your feet, maybe, but they need to... It can't just be like, here's $3,000 for the rest of your life tax-free.
No.
It should be somehow teaching you educational stuff, trade school stuff. I don't like this military welfare system that I've seen a lot of my buddies just kind of, I told them, dude, that's great. Just use that as supplemental income, but I would still get a job. I mean, a lot of my wounded buddies that are 100% disabled, a good portion of them do have jobs and they still have a purpose and they still have to shave and shower and function and have healthy relationships. But then there's a big portion of that. They just lay around getting that check and fucking boozing it up. And I promise for anyone that's seen trauma, especially violent trauma, combat, things like that, stay away from the booze, man. It's not your friend. When you've experienced war, that shit, you know, another thing I thought of the other day, I'm lucky because of a military buddy of mine. I got this job with this construction company. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm in a much better place is what I'm doing now in no way, shape, or form relates to what I did in the military. The problem with most people is we just evolve into something similar. Mm-hmm. So I went from military into contracting, into law enforcement, into firearms training, all related. So it's hard to disconnect from that. Those same wires are still connected and firing.
Even executive protection you did. Still same.
Well, it's hard to pull yourself out of that. But for your mental health, the reason why I've made a lot of gains in the last few years is because now I'm in the construction industry as a safety dude, and it is nothing to do with guns or the military. The further I put that shit in my past, the happier I am. Yeah. Years ago, probably 10 years ago or more, my wife told me, stop looking at your laptop. Stop looking at all the war porn on there. Put new pictures in your head. And that's when we started going camping and shit like that. That was actually the first time I started to deviate from this nosedive of war pictures, alcohol, blasting fucking music. And I would drink myself into a psychosis. But what I would encourage veterans to do out there is get a job that's completely fucking unrelated to what you did. And I know it sucks because you have to completely learn something new, but there's also a growth process in that, a challenge in that.
Absolutely.
That I just kept evolving into these other similar categories. Well, once I got into the utilities industry, it was a whole new world, and it's allowed me to just put that shit in the past. You know, a lot of people will tell you to dissect the past and figure it out. And I just say, you know what? It's in the rearview mirror, dude. You know, a horse never won a race by looking backwards. Look forwards. Don't look in the rearview mirror. What happened, happened. You can't fucking change it. Stop reliving it. Stop talking about it. Drive forward, man. That's what I've done.
Well,
to be happy and successful is I'm chasing my fucking goals.
I think you bring up a very interesting point that circles back to where we started is, again, the Greatest Generation, they came home. They did exactly that. They went out to be business dudes, plumbers, you name it. You know,
that's best way.
Now, here's the question, okay? The question is, did they do that because they were different from all the guys? Or did they do that because the option of the war machine wasn't there with the privatization of military services such as contracting, things like this? They've made so many opportunities for when people get out to stay addicted to combat, to stay addicted to that lifestyle. Okay. And if that's all you know, and here's the opportunity, it's almost unfair because again, when our grandpas came back, it's like, okay, got to put that behind me. That was me over in the foreign.
Got to go back to the farm, the
gotta
factory, come back whatever. The farm,
exactly. And grow. Now, you come back and you're like, well,
it's a great point.
That's what's kind of
that's scary. I never thought of that. Yeah, because I remember one time when I was talking to people about leaving Team 5, they're like, "You're a fucking 60 gunner. What the fuck are you gonna do on the outside?" Like they try to kind of box you in.
Sure.
And all I said was, "I had enough talent to get to your doorstep. I'll find my way to someone else's doorstep."
Boom.
You know.
Yeah.
But you're right. Once I left that bubble, I was like, shit, what am I going to do? Oh, contracting. So there's another layer of this that they make available. So it does trap you. It keeps you addicted to the brotherhood and deployments and playing with guns. And then same thing with law enforcement. You
know? Think about World War II. Okay, so obviously contracting wasn't a thing. But also, the only executive protection, it wasn't a massive business. Like we had
Secret Service. That's about it. Yeah.
Exactly, Secret Service. Or you would have to be... Even if you're a super rich, rich dude back in the day,
still wasn't a thing. Though.
It wasn't a thing.
You know? You might have had a bodyguard, maybe, or an assistant. I don't know, but it was. But now,
maybe
they'll pay you to do EP stuff. You know, all these celebrities have seals around them when they need it. And so it does keep you locked into that machine. I just got lucky that a buddy of mine got into the safety side of things. I think he started with like offshore drilling and then went over to utilities. And just by an old teammate checking on me through a phone call, I'm so glad I got pulled out and plugged into something different, because that has helped
the universe, bro.
My state of mind. Yeah, it
100%,
100% out of my control, because it's done so much for my mental health.
Yeah, man.
And what it's done is it's allowed me, any of these high stress jobs, especially anything combat related, anything where you're carrying a gun and looking for bad guys, you're focus has to be on that mission, whether it's law enforcement mission, military mission. When you're carrying a gun and you're looking for bad people, that has to be at the front of your, or you're fucking dead. Like, you can't think about other stuff. And even on your downtime. So even when you're with your family, are you mentally there? No, you're thinking about what happened, what's going to happen tomorrow. Did I prepare? What training evolutions? Now that I'm in this line of work, when I'm with my family, I'm with them. I have no worries about what happened during the last week or what's coming up this week.
You're present finally.
I'm present because I have no stress. There's no, I don't carry a fucking gun to work, man. There's the stress, because I intentionally placed myself for over 20 years into these stressful fucking situations. And I get it. Somebody has to do it. But I mean, at what cost?
Well,
you know, that's kind of the whole mantra of this is it worth the price of admission? Like, what are we paying for as a society, and what are we getting back in benefit other than these elite warmongers profiting off of our tax dollars? Well,
that it's not just the warmongers too, is you have to think of is all these veterans that return that either go into contracting or executive protection, is you're a commodity. And you're treated like a commodity. Okay. We trade you, you know, you'll go to this company or you'll do this and blah, blah, blah. Here's your value.
Just a number.
You know, you're just a number. And look, when you're not worth anything to them, you're done. Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's what a lot of people, you know, Tom Satterley talked about. I've talked about, when you try to respectfully bow out of the mafia, they're done with you, dude. Once they know you're not drinking the Kool-Aid anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young, they got all these symbols and signs and units and cool. There's this little elevation of cool guyness and you're this and that. When you're done with all that shit and you finally see through the smoke and mirrors, once you figured out their bullshit game, dude, they're done with you, man. They dust you off like they've already moved on to the next new guy. And it's scary. Like, the door at SEAL Team 5 closes quick when you leave it. You know, it's just, it's a lonely, when you first enter that same door, there's a parade deck full of platoons ready there to greet you and yell at you to shut the fuck up. But on your way out, you got your little yellow folder and that door shuts behind you and you're by yourself. And it's like, where's the brotherhood now? We're not brothers no more. I mean, it's weird, dude. And Tom had the same experience leaving Delta. Like, now there always are brothers that will keep in touch with you. And that's the real brotherhood. But dude, 98% of that goes away the second you fucking bow out.
Yeah.
And that's a shock. And I think that's what gets a lot of veterans, is they realize that they've been kind of living a life for the last 4 years, 10 years, 20 years. Now they're back in the real world and it's like, fuck, what do I do?
Well, I think you said it best, man. I mean, and I think the more that we're talking about this now, it's you got to pat yourself on the back and any of the other veterans that get out of the machine and go on this path, because one, the money is really good, that it's utilizing your most recent skill set, so you don't have to learn a new skill set, and you know, it's available, right? So to go a different direction, be it construction, be it business, be it a teacher, whatever the fuck, right, is super challenging to this community. So what, again, it just seems like you're still taking on fire, okay, coming out of combat, because again, like we said, the programs aren't there, the support's not there, the skill set training of other trades, health, VA, just nothing's there except for, hey, this is what we have for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come back over to the dark side, right?
Yeah, exactly. Don't do it, guys and gals out there, man. My advice now is completely reinvent yourself. Don't just fall into another version of what you've left, which is what I did for several evolutions of myself. And it was just by luck. As Ryan puts it, the universe reached out, plugged me into utilities. And man, if I had discovered this line of trade earlier, I would have gone to line school, become a lineman, man, for sure.
Yeah, you talk about that.
God, dude, those guys are awesome. Yeah, hardworking fucking dudes. And yeah, oh, dude, one of my bros will hop on and they're just, they're fucking amazing. The stuff they do, especially during storm work when they're trying to restore power to an area that's been hit by either fire, rain, or snow. I mean, these dudes, I call them the Delta Force of construction workers. These motherfuckers are dangling from helicopters and shit. I'm like, they got balls, dude.
Dude,
they, seriously. When they get paid well, these dudes can make $300,000-$400,000 a year, but their life's on the line. But they really, I see them shine when they are passionate about restoring power to an area because they know some people are on medical equipment that need power.
It's true.
Summertime.
It's dark.
You know, they need the ACs, whatever. Like, they have good hearts, man. These are, this is really the nuts and bolts of America, is the trades.
Yeah.
You know, and so for people getting out of the military, man, if I had known about the trades earlier, it is an equivalent option for you that completely removes you from the running and gunning, but you still bust your ass. You're still, you can tell dick and fart jokes and not get in trouble. You know, don't try to be some financial fucking dude. Grab a hammer and start working, you know?
Well, you know what? I just wish that one day that enough, the veterans that go on to the contract and this executive protection just kind of just wait, go, wait a second. If we think like our grandfathers, go back to World War II mentality, be like, okay, let's put this to pass. That whole industry dies. Mm-hmm. And it's not even a necessary industry if you think about it. It's not.
For a lot of these celebrities and shit, it's bragging rights.
Oh, it's such
a bullshit. I know for the family I worked for, she used to love to brag to her brother that, you know, it's all SEALs protecting her, and for her rich friends and shit. Oh, all my bodyguards are Navy SEALs. And, you know, it's a status thing for them. Really, what did I really do? I gassed up vehicles, washed vehicles, played with kids.
Well,
went to amusement parks, rode horses. I was Richard Pryor in the toy.
You know? The oligarchs are about it. You know, once you have the couple mansions and your Ferraris and your Lamborghinis, now you got to own people.
That's what they do. So what does Trump call them? The golden bracelets or whatever? The
handcuffs.
Golden handcuffs. Yeah.
That's
you know,
true.
Yeah, they treat you well and you make good money. But then, you know, I realized I was with this family part time for 9 years, anytime they were in the States. And I was like, damn, I'm spending a lot of my time watching this family grow, but I'm not with my family.
Nice.
It's weird, you know, like I spent a Christmas down there.
Oh, shit.
And they were paying me well, but I thought, well, I'm watching this family open presents, and it's kind of sad. And you're never in the mix with them. You're on the outside looking in.
Think what a mind fuck that is. I mean, for someone to basically, it bothers me a little bit. It's like, it's Christmas. No, you need to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more important than your family. It's just shady, man. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah, it sucks, but we sign up for it. We're like, oh, I'm sure they had
enough alarms and security cameras and different layers. They probably didn't even need security, right?
No, they don't.
And I get abductions and things like that, but you know, we're not living in Brazil, you know. So
their facility was close to the Mexican border, so they were worried. Like that facility is pretty credible. And I know there's insurance requirements for them to have armed guards at all times because they're billionaires. Like, they have to have armed security.
Yeah.
At what level? I mean, dude, that first push down there, man, we looked like baby Blackwater. It was ridiculous, man. We had buggies and fire. I mean, it was overkill for sure. But the bottom line was, I was away from my family. And and I just, my advice to any younger veterans or just any veteran is just plug back into normal society. Don't get stuck back in this loop. I'm just tired of hearing.
Yeah.
Broken brothers. I'm broken myself. I mean, I'm not a hypocrite about this. I'm not judging nobody, but I've made a lot of progress in the last few years. And a big part of that was, I'm in a new line of work that doesn't require me to carry a gun to work. It's not fucking dangerous. I've had my own path of becoming a better person. You know, I'm coming up on a year of no booze on the 26th of this month. I'm pretty stoked about that. That's allowed me to focus on my family, focus on things that are beneficial, like the gym and jujitsu and things like that. And so these are things that people can look at, not just veterans, everyday Americans. It doesn't matter, you know, for me. And I think most people start to unfuck themselves in their 40s, you know, because we're like, shit, I'm almost 50.
Yeah, it's true.
What can I do to be healthier or better or whatever? And so You know,
it takes four decades to figure that out, though.
It does.
It does. It's messed up,
well,
right?
My 20s was just a barn fire.
Oh,
my 30s was putting out that barn fire. And finally, my 40s is like, let's not start another bonfire. Let's just right. build a new barn somewhere.
Exactly.
So that's kind of where I'm at there. But yeah, I appreciate everyone's time. You know, I just hearing these different podcasts and different conversations I've had. And it breaks my heart because I really do care for my brothers out there. And even, you know, there's some sisters out there. Modern Warfare has roped in some females into the mix. And so there's also a female first responder. So I don't mean to forget you guys. I just didn't have a lot of experience working with females. So if I say brothers, that means everybody.
But also, too, this whole episode is very relevant. And there's no difference to anyone in the first responder community. So, I mean,
and regular people, too. But you know, this message goes out to everybody.
Well, you know as well as I do, and we've talked about it, and I know you'll confirm this, but, you know, I know we're talking about the military war machine, but there's also a machine behind law enforcement.
Oh, yeah.
It's just as nasty, right?
So it is.
You were part of it. You know it.
It is. I've seen that, too, and it's disappointing to see, you know, things domestically that are concerning as well
especially
as our foreign
now.
Policy. Our domestic policy is even scarier. And so, I don't know. You know, it's just... One of these podcasts, it's tough, Ryan, and I always struggle. We don't like to talk about tough topics often, but when we do, we like to turn a negative into a positive. And, you know, it's tough to...
but I think a final thought for me, you know, again, part of the good vibes thing is we talk shits and giggles, but part of good vibes is making people aware of what is anti-good vibes. And if we're educated on what's anti, that's on how we could be in a better state of mind constantly. But I think what we need to do is we need to start raising more questions and demand more solutions about our government's priorities and ability to combat issues such as veteran mental illness, homelessness, and unemployment in that community. I mean, we should be demanding that. Again, I don't want the $100,000 going to the bum. Until you give that $100,000 to that veteran to go do something. So I don't want to hear it. We need to start demanding this from our elected officials. And I know that's tough because we're demanding a lot of things and none of them are fucking listening anyway. So,
well, also, we need to demand that any type of military action requires a process. Like, I'm just tired of just this random launch of this and that. And I'm tired of the repercussions of it. You know, and I don't like the fact, and I participated in it, that warfare became corporate from companies like Dyncor and Blackwater and Triple Canopy and MVM and Trident Group and all these fuckers. Mm-hmm. Now, once war became, there are probably more contractors in country nowadays than fucking military people.
Probably.
And you have to ask yourself, is that healthy? Is that now we're, you know, as the active duty guys call this, combat hookers. We're just going to war zones for money. It's not even for a purpose or for the flag or for, avenge 9/11. I was avenging my negative fucking checking account. turn that negative into a positive real quick, you know?
That's awesome. That's
and it's
so
just
funny.
Sad that we're at that point as a society where you have modern day mercenaries. I mean, what else is it True. Called? I know it's the M word is a bad word in the contract community, but it's exactly what it is. Soldiers for hire. And
you could redefine
it
any way you want, but that's the definition.
You're a combat hooker, man. You're sucking that dick for money, you know?
Anyways, but listen, I'm happy that you're able to get it off your chest. I know that we have a lot of active duty veterans and first responders to listen to them. So I guarantee these thoughts have crossed their mind. So, you know, to all those guys and ladies, I think we might have a handful, you know, hopefully you take something from this and, you know, agree or disagree. The bottom line is, We gotta fix this machine because it's really fucked up. You know, it's like we were talking, right? It's you're taught to embrace the suck, but this is really embrace the fuck, right?
Because you're getting fucked by Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Wait, let me see that.
Before big red, off, white, and blue penis in your butthole.
Before you sign off, let me see that the hatchet again.
Dude. You know what? Go get yourself a little tomahawk.
Oh, God. I
love this
that.
Little dude with the teeth, dude. Ah, rah, 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 rah. Isn't he awesome?
That is so gnarly in so many different ways.
Dude, I love it, dude.
I know we have a lot of listeners, but this one might be worth going on YouTube and seeing.
Check out the YouTube video of this. Fuck, I call it the fucking battle hawk, dude.
Dude, it's like a double beak. The front is like a double beak.
And like, it's got the little spike in the back.
Yeah, and then it has like a raptor or like
claw. It's just gnarly. Look at that with the light right there, dude. Arrah!
Is that called the raptor? I mean, good Lord.
I don't know what, dude. It kind of.
All right. Well, here's the thing.
I got a bond with it.
I expect a IG video of you throwing the axe this afternoon.
Oh. Well, I got to find a tree. I'm scared to go out in my neighborhood throwing axes.
How's that wood fence?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. I've already launched a couple of arrows over the fence into traffic and shit. And I just run like a kid. You're like, oh, shit.
I think my neighbor moved because of that. So now that he moved, we kind of went over to his yard to find all the arrows.
Oh, nice. Dude, your neighbor moved. I should be your neighbor.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Win the Powerball. We'll build on the compound and we'll put a pool in the middle. And that's where we meet. Bonfire. Oh, yeah. My.
That would be tough on me. That would be that would be very tough.
Our wives would just be like, they're at the pool again, those idiots.
God, they're such assholes. they could talk hours just about the 80s. What's wrong with them?
Yeah, what's wrong with them? Dude, that's our goal.
I love it. Well, on that note, Tribe, we hope you have a great week. Clark, as always, brother, I love you.
I love you, too. See you, man.
Later, dude. Bye.